The Ninth Circuit's ruling in the Kalshi case landed this week, and it's a significant legal development for prediction markets. The quick context: Kalshi is a US-based prediction market platform that has been operating under CFTC oversight, which it argued preempts state gambling laws. States like Arizona disagreed and pursued their own prosecutions. The Ninth Circuit has now sided with the states, finding that CFTC oversight of event contracts does not automatically preempt state gambling regulations.
This matters for several reasons. Kalshi and similar platforms, Predictit was the earlier example, Polymarket operates offshore, have been betting on the thesis that federal commodity law creates a safe harbor from state gambling restrictions. The Ninth Circuit says no. That potentially exposes Kalshi to prosecution in states with active gambling restrictions, which is a large portion of the U.S. population.
The deeper question is what prediction markets are, legally and conceptually. The operators argue they are information markets, mechanisms for aggregating dispersed beliefs into probability estimates, which has genuine public value. Regulators and courts in many jurisdictions are looking at the same activity and seeing gambling with extra steps. The legal framework hasn't caught up to the product.
There's an analogy to how sports betting was treated before PASPA was struck down by the Supreme Court in 2018. For decades, federal law effectively banned sports betting outside Nevada, and the argument was that states couldn't be trusted to regulate it. When that changed, the market opened up rapidly and the predicted harms didn't materialize at the scale critics feared. Prediction market advocates are making a similar argument. The restriction is about incumbent interests and moral panic rather than demonstrated harm.
The counterargument is that prediction markets on political events have different dynamics than sports betting. There are genuine concerns about whether large positions on election outcomes create incentives to influence those outcomes, which is a feedback loop that doesn't exist in sports betting. The manipulation risk is more structural.
133 points and 112 comments on HN. The comments break roughly along libertarian-leaning versus institutionalist lines, which is a predictable divide on this platform. Now, Sarah, let's do something I think is worth making a habit. We've been fairly confident about the Cursor OpenAI situation and the GLM 5.3 story. Let's probe the thing we might be most wrong about.
The claim I'd nominate for scrutiny is the thesis that GLM 5.3 going open weight is a meaningful counterweight to API dependency risk. The idea that if OpenAI pulls access, developers can migrate to a capable open weight model and be fine. It feels right. The HN community embraced it, but let's actually stress test it.
I'll take the position. The thesis is sound. Openweight models have closed the performance gap dramatically over the past 2 years. Llama 3.1 was genuinely competitive with GPT-4 on many benchmarks when it released. GLM 5.3 adds to that. The inference infrastructure has matured via LLM Llama, CPP a Llama, so running these models is no longer a research project. Cursor migrating to openweight models is plausible.
Here's what I'd push back on. Benchmark performance is not production performance at scale. Cursor reportedly serves millions of active users. Running GPT-4 class inference at that scale on openweight models isn't download the weights and run VLLM. It's a massive infrastructure investment in GPU capacity, reliability engineering, and model ops. The API isn't just providing model weights. It's providing reliability guarantees, uptime, load balancing, and geographic distribution. For a startup like Cursor, building that from scratch while migrating is genuinely hard.
That's a fair point. The assumption embedded in just use open weight models is that you have either the capital to run the infrastructure or a cloud provider willing to host it under favorable terms. A company that's just been acquired by SpaceX probably has the capital, which makes this particular case less representative of the broader developer community.
Right. For a solo developer or a small startup, the API dependency is real, and the migration path to self-hosted open weight models has real costs, not impossibly high, but not trivial. So the claim to watch for would be, if Cursor's quality noticeably degrades in the next few months after the open AI cutoff, that's a signal that the migration is harder than it looked. Conversely, if they ship a smooth experience on alternative models, that validates the open weight independence thesis more concretely.
Specifically, watch for Cursor's user retention numbers and the GitHub community feedback on code completion quality over the next quarter. Those will be the leading indicators. and watch whether SpaceX invests in dedicated inference infrastructure, which would tell you a lot about whether they see Cursor as a strategic capability or just an acquisition.
The Visual Analysis of Binary Files tool, BINVIS. EO is worth a brief mention as a practical security tool. It visualizes binary file structures in ways that make patterns visible to the human eye, which is useful for malware analysis and reverse engineering. The technique of rendering file entropy and structure as visual patterns is not new, but the web-based accessibility of this tool makes it more approachable.
And Python's time complexity documentation landing on HN is a perennial. It surfaces periodically and always gets engagement from developers who didn't know it existed or want to share it with students. The fact that Python's official docs include a comprehensive table of time complexity for operations on built-in types, lists, dicts, sets, is something every Python developer should have internalized. The dec versus list distinction for FIFO operations being O1 versus ON shows up in production performance bugs regularly.